Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Captain's Quarters, the unofficial Star Trek rewatch podcast where we are rewatching the entire Star Trek franchise, starting at the beginning of the official chronology. We finished Star Trek Enterprise. We've moved on to Star Trek Discovery. My name's Gabe, and I'm with my co-captain, Jason. Make it so, Jason.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing well. Today we're talking about Star Trek Discovery Season 1, Episode 12, called Vaulting Ambition.
I'm curious, do you think that's a reference to Macbeth?
Oh, man. I don't know, is it?
Oh, okay. I for some reason it has this remembrance of a line from Macbeth.
According to fandom.com, it is.
Oh,
it's a reference
cool.
to the line, "I have no spur to prick the sides of my intent, but only vaulting ambition, which overleaps itself and falls onto or on the other."
Yeah. I think one of the early acts, like Act 1, if I remember correctly.
Giorgio accuses Lorca in this episode of having vaulting ambition.
Yes, she does.
I'm glad you like called out that Macbeth Easter egg there, because I was about to go off on some other
tangent. Yeah, no, please go ahead.
It's good. We're good.
You sure?
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm good.
Because when you have those, you know, when you have those tangents, it can be quite interesting.
You know what? We have confirmation of the real deal, so I won't speculate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so was it about the title?
No, I was just going to speculate about what it could have meant.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Anyway, so in this episode, Burnham heads to the ISS Charon?
Charon? Yeah. I promise you we watched this episode. Charon. Yeah,
you know what's sad is I watched it twice.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Heads to the ISS Charon with a special gift for Emperor Giorgio. Back on board the Discovery, Stamets gains clarity while trapped inside the mycelial network with his Terran counterpart, and Saru asks Laurel for help to deal with Tyler.
And I hope his counterpart helps him get back to the future.
I hope so too.
Sorry, go ahead.
First of all, the special gift is Captain Lorca. And they're summoned to the Imperial Capital. And I like this episode, but right off the bat, I have a criticism, which
Please.
Is that last episode, so many strides, trials, tribulations were taken to secure this data bank that they needed to decrypt to learn about the Defiant so that they could get out of this mirror universe back mm-hmm. to our universe. They succeeded, and it was a nice little kind of like caper sort of thing where they Burnham hid the databank on Tyler, pretended to execute him by transporting him into space. The thing was in his pocket, so the Enterprise then transports him onto Enterprise. They put him in the brig, but now they have the databank because mm-hmm. it was in Tyler's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But this episode kind of makes that for naught, because they say much of the important information was redacted.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. all they really got from it was that there was this like subspace dimension or something they learned
yep.
about.
Yep.
This interphasic space, I guess is what they called it. And so I just didn't like that. You know, there was a lot of to-do about getting this data bank in the last one, and then it was like, nope, never mind. It was redacted.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, well, we didn't need that other episode then, did we?
That's funny that you said. Yeah, I didn't think too much about that, but now you've got me thinking, and yeah, it could have gone either way. It could have gone either way. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with finding, you know, the little thing, you know, the plot device, and then going, oh, we need to break into the Imperial Vault and
MacGuffin.
Yeah, the MacGuffin, and find more info and draw out the story a little bit.
I think there could have been... I mean, they needed to get them to the Emperor. And that was the method they chose to do so. I just think there could have been other ways they did it. Like,
sure.
You know, there's a million ways they could have done it. They didn't They didn't need to just nullify the progress they had made in the other episode. But
yeah.
Other than that, I liked the episode. And so Lorca is on board with... He's pretending to be Burnham's prisoner, and that's the ruse that they're doing. And so, you know, Lorca has to go to this like torture chamber thing. She uses some sort of, I think she calls it a hypo spray.
Yep, it's a hypo spray.
And it like numbs Lorca's senses so that when he goes into this agonizer, he can't feel it. And they go there. We learn that Jason was correct, that the Emperor, in fact, did adopt a young Burnham.
Yes.
So Giorgio in this universe was the adoptive mother of Burnham. And but we also learn that apparently Mir Burnham was colluding with Lorca to overthrow the Empire. Emperor knew this and thus decides to execute Burnham. And so she gives the order to do so. Because it was her adoptive daughter, she exercises some mercy, and her mercy is a quick death. And she says there's no one else in the universe she would offer that to. Before she could kill her, though, Burnham admits, hey, yes, I am Michael Burnham, but I'm not your Michael Burnham. I am from a different universe. And here's proof. She has, like, genetic proof that that's the case. Gives it to her. Luckily, Emperor Giorgio believes her and checks the evidence and determines, yes, in fact, this is true. And then, for some reason, Giorgio kills her guards, which I want to talk about in a second, and then wants to learn more about Burnham. And there's that. At the same time this is all happening, Stamets is on board the Discovery. And Stamets is the key to getting back to the mycelial network, or getting back to our universe via the mycelial warp drive.
If they can't find the interphasic space.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
He's in a coma. And, you know, Tilly is trying to save him. But Stamets has encountered his mirror self in the network. So apparently the mirror Stamets is also in the mycelial network, and now they're talking to each other and they're basically identical, which is interesting because almost everyone else is a weird, warped, sinister version of themselves, but mirror Stamets is actually kind of a chill dude. So
as far as we know, yes. I still have my suspicions.
Fair enough. But they introduce a aspect of the mycelial network, which is that there's some sort of sickness or corruption or evil affecting the network it literally is kind of like chasing them in the network. And then once Stamets gets out of the network, they go into the place where the mycelial stuff is stored, and it's like all corrupted and sick. And we don't really know what's going to happen there.
Hence my sneaking suspicion of Mir Lorca, Mir Stamets.
Yes. And then skipping way ahead, so at the end, back on the see, I already forgot, the Charon. Lorca is being tortured, and a character, Maddox, comes and tries to get him to admit that Lorca did something to his sister. Mm-hmm. So via that, we learn that Jason was right, that this is in fact not our universe's Lorca. This is the Lorca that we've known all along has been mere universe Lorca.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they reveal that's kind of cool. They say the only genetic difference between, you know, Terran Empire humans and regular humans, Federation humans, is sensitivity to light.
Light, yep.
And then they kind of flash back and show all these instances where Lorca is squinting. And that's how we learn that Jason was right all along. The reason why Lorca is so not Federation is because he's not. He's an imposter. Somehow he got from the Mir universe to our universe and masqueraded as Lorca, and then needed to get back to the Mir universe because apparently wanted to overthrow the Emperor or something. And it kind of ends in a cliffhanger in that regard. So,
did you skip over the Laurel and?
Oh, I skipped over a lot, buddy.
Tyler Vok kind of deal for a reason.
No, because you know, I mean, we talked about last time how Tyler is Vok, and. Yeah. I don't know that this episode did anything more there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. So. Anyway.
Nicely done. Feel Thank like you. I watched it again.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Kudos on your predictions, man.
Yeah, just tremor in the force.
I am much curious
dark side in this Lorca. Yeah, it's go true. Ahead.
Well, just I am curious to know, like, if you were to go back and watch other episodes, would you see Lorca squinting and being sensitive to light? Do you think they were that strategic with it and that well thought out?
I think they were. Yeah, I do. Because when he was being tortured by Laurel on board that ship, she tortured him with lights. There are four lights. No. Next Generation reference. I think there were a couple of hints, but I don't know if that's the one that I would have picked up on.
Do you happen to remember if other Terrans in previous Star Trek iterations have had this light sensitivity?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't remember.
Okay. Well, how do you think Lorca got to our universe from his? Did they explain?
No, they did not explain that. And I kind of, you know, rewound and fast forward and kind of tried to pay attention to that. But no, I don't think they mentioned how. My guess is that it was via the mycelial network. Remember, like a while ago, Lorca kept mentioning that he was working with Stamets on projects in the mycelial network, and that it seemed like he had an intimate knowledge of the network itself. And so I'm curious if that's how he got there.
Hmm. Yeah, this seems likely for sure. And any thoughts on what the corruption sickness is going on in the mycelial network?
No idea. But my guess is that, again, it's mirror universe Stamets hiding something that he was doing in some of the experiments that he was working on. That just seems so Terran Empire of them to be fiddling around and destroying and using it to their own advantage. If we were to play extrapolate what the Terran Empire usually does in other stories is just to exploit.
Yeah. Well, do you think our Stamets was stuck in the network because of this corruption? Because up to now, it was presented as if he was like lost in it, like it had consumed him, or he had gone too far. But now it's possible that he was trapped there because of some thing going on with Mayor Stamets.
Possibly.
I thought that was interesting.
Kinda. Okay. And then I was meaning to ask you, is that what you also thought about Lorca? Do you remember any of the light sensitivity to his eyes?
I briefly remember when they zoomed in on his eye. I don't know if it was eye drops or something. I briefly remember something about that.
Okay.
But I mean, definitely did not think like, oh, that means he's a Terran.
Right. Yeah, no, right. Yeah. Okay.
What's going on with Stamets's lover, the doctor?
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if I have a read yet. Do you? I mean, so he's dead, and the network has created
a projection of him.
A projection, a thought, its own creation of him, a replica. I don't know what to call it yet. A figment, you know, of him, of Culber. And I think at the moment, I think it's the network. I think it's the mycelial network. Because Stamets is trying to help fix the mycelial network at this time, right? Not just get out of it, but he's also trying to like fix and repair it. So I think it's kind of like, an Obi-Wan, a Yoda, what was Scott Bakula's from Quantum Leap, you know? The actor just passed away recently. But kind of like a guide, a whisper guide kind of deal through the network to help him.
Virgil.
Yeah.
From Dante.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think in this episode, he even actually calls him Virgil.
Oh, does he? Okay, I didn't pick up on that.
He says something like, what are you, my Virgil?
Right.
Escorting me through this hell or something?
Yes.
Something to that effect.
Yes. Okay. Again, we watched it. I watched it. Promise.
Well, okay. Yeah,
Your take on it, or did you have something?
I mean, up until this episode, I thought maybe they were like storing the doctor there so that his corporeal self could be healed.
Oh, interesting. Like
they would unsnap his neck. Yeah. And then, like, heal his body.
Oh, interesting.
And then when his body was ready, they would, like, put his essence back into the body.
Gotcha.
And that's how they would resurrect him or something.
Gotcha. Is that a Star Wars thing? Is that like dark side magic?
Yeah, for sure. But then, you know, I don't think the science really makes sense. Other than the fact that, like, you know, they say, like, when your brain waves are non-existent.
Right.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, whatever brain waves are, is they're stored in the mycelial network.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
And then once the body's ready, then they put them back in.
Right. Gotcha. Interesting.
How Laurel talks about, like, imprinting Vox's psyche onto Tyler.
Yes.
Which I don't know if I understood that either, because at first she says they harvested Tyler's DNA and then, you know, made Vok, like, into Tyler. But does that mean that Tyler's out there somewhere? The real Tyler is out there somewhere?
No, you know what? So that when she said that, I was like, oh, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
So they used human DNA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they connected Klingon DNA chains into that human DNA to kind of fuse them together. And so...
Dino DNA.
Yeah. Sorry. Dino DNA. one of my favorite movies. sorry. I am now on that ride in my mind. After all that, you get a baby dinosaur. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, no, sorry. Back to what we were talking about. So I also got confused after that, too, because, like, Culber made it seem like, yes, it was Ash Tyler's body, but he had some Klingon innards. And they had to change his skeletal structure. I don't understand how that worked either. So,
either way,
but I think I landed on that. Ash Tyler is dead, and they used his body as the host vehicle.
Oh, see, okay. I had the same confusion, but I took it as. They found Tyler's body at the binary stars. He was dead,
floating
in space. They took his DNA and somehow altered Vok's body with that DNA. So it's Vok's body with, like, a Tyler shell. But then I was confused because they were like, well, we put Vok's psyche onto Tyler. But if what you just said is true... If they use Tyler's body, does that mean Vok still has a body out there somewhere? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that would kind
of... So you think he's in Edgar suit?
I don't know what that is.
From Men in Black?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I forgot we quote Men in Black on a daily basis now.
Right? So he puts on a Tyler suit.
Yeah.
And he needs sugar water?
Yes. More invasive than that. because all she said was we harvested his DNA.
Right.
And so to me they like you know, it was some sort of like almost stem cell implant type thing. Altered Vok's body. So it is Vok's body, but it's altered.
Oh, okay.
Meaning that there is a Tyler body still out there with some DNA missing.
Could be. That's...
So yeah, I feel like it's either that.
I didn't even think of that either.
I feel like it's
that's
either
that. That's a good point. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I don't know.
Or they implanted Vok's essence into the Tyler body, but that means then there's a Vok body out there somewhere without its psyche.
Right. Yeah, no, I have no idea.
Okay.
I like the Edgar suit, though.
Yeah. Or I guess that's maybe the third option, which is Vok's body is underneath. I think they would have seen that, though, when they were doing all their scans and stuff like that.
Right. And that's what my guess would have been. I'm like, well, why do you have this enlarged heart and stronger skeletal structure and, you know, all that stuff that Klingons have, supposedly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So I don't. That's interesting.
One more thing I don't like about this episode, it was kind of switching gears, I guess. But
no, go ahead. Yeah, no.
They keep talking about
the dragging because it's. Yeah, go ahead.
The mycelial network. They keep talking about it's like how it bridges the gap between life and death, and they kind of are almost adding like a metaphysical aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'm a big fan of that, because then it's like, well, what are the rules of that? And have they really established that that's what it's doing?
Right.
And
can we be mushrooms? I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, I feel like they were just more being like artistic when they were saying that without really like defining the science behind it.
Well, there is, I mean, Tilly was right in the last, was it the last episode? When did she say that fungi are the only organisms, like, linked between life and death?
I think it was this episode, wasn't it?
No, I think it was Wolf Inside.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it was the last one.
Okay.
So yeah, there is a little bit of science to that. And whether they expounded it and, you know, extrapolated it out to like a larger thing, then I guess it makes sense.
But you mean in the sense that like the decomposition is facilitated by mycelia? Is that
yeah, and that the network is like this ever expansive thing, that it's like one, you know, it's kind of like a central nervous system underneath the earth.
Okay.
It's curious if there is science to like kind of say that there might be a spatial mycelial network. That'd be pretty interesting. Okay,
agree.
But the real Paul Stamets would really be like, okay, that's enough. I think.
No, he would say, I can't answer that question because there's men in helicopters who will come assassinate me. Have you heard his thing about Portabellas? He's like, I can't talk about it because my life is in danger. Like, there's some Portabella cabal that is after him or something.
Oh,
he's not allowed to talk about it.
Because he's destroyed. Yeah, not, I have not. I'll have to look that up.
Well, so, but see, I like what you're saying makes sense, but they're like applying like a metaphysical definition to it, which is almost implying there's like this afterlife that the mycelia are connected to.
To me
that's more Star Wars than Star Trek.
That's true. I totally missed that. I didn't pick up on that, and I agree with you.
I don't appreciate that in Star Trek.
Yeah, okay. I have a hard time wrestling with that one as well, for sure. I did not pick up on that. So I'm glad that you did.
Well, and I just hope that they're, because
I have an issue with it too.
Yeah.
Now we're getting into a little fantasy land.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I hope that when they're saying that, they're just more being like artistic about the description of mycelia and the way that you know, it decomposes organisms. It's, yeah. Just more just like speaking about it like poetically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I hope it. I hope it doesn't turn out to be like.
I'm with you on that one.
Like they can resurrect people.
Right.
Because that's a whole other thing. So.
Right. Right.
Anyway. So. Yeah, this show seems always in a on a cliffhanger. Yep. So we're waiting to see what happens with Lorca. And if they get the redacted data bank on the Defiant, how they get back to our universe, which I'm sure they do. Yeah, so that was pretty much it.
Yep. And to find out, same bat time, same bat channel.
What?
Next week. No.
How many pips would you give this one, buddy?
Let me just say, of middle episodes, this is definitely not Godfather 2. So this is like a Lieutenant 2 pips kind of deal. This wasn't... You know, it's... Yeah, it's great that they continue to establish some of the things, but it felt like a middle episode, right? Like, sure. It felt like it. And you're kind of in this bound of, like, where are we going next? And, you know, we have to tune back in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. But, I thought it was a fine episode. 2 pips. What's your letter grade?
I'd give it a B minus.
B minus? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Higher than me? Wow. Wow. And what leads you to that?
Well, so when I'm assigning my letter grade, I'm considering all Star Trek that I've seen, including Enterprise. So, like, in general, I think this show has its shit together more than Enterprise.
Yeah.
And so, just by virtue of that, it gets, like, bumped up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But as we get further along, perhaps my scale, I'll have to adjust my thinking, because for all I know, this series is completely subpar to something down the pipe. So
okay,
we'll have to see.
Okay. Yeah, I my pips are always kind of isolated into within the series, and you know,
mm-hmm.
what we've seen thus far from the series.
That's probably the smart way to do it, to be honest.
But, you know.
Yeah.
I like that you kind of take it from the entire spectrum of what you've seen.
For sure. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? We didn't talk about why you think she killed her captains.
I don't... Yeah. I did not understand that. That's what I wanted to talk about, which was... The only thing I could think was that she was... Well, we know that she was aware of our universe because she had access to the data.
Yeah.
And so my thoughts were that she has ambitions to either defect to our universe.
Oh!
Invade our universe.
Oh, is that how you think Michelle Yeoh comes back?
Something.
Okay. Oh!
But like that was like top secret, and she didn't want anybody to know that, and so she had to kill the witnesses. That was the only thing I could. Did that make sense to you?
Otherwise? Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What did you think was going on when it happened?
So I think similar, but not similar. I think she killed him because she was not going to kill Burnham. And
didn't want to look weak.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. That's why I save those questions for you. I rely on your perception.
If this empire is anything like any other empire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though, you know, you are being held up in power by loyalists and, like, factions of within the empire, I mean, yeah, I think she had to kill the nobles that were propping her up because she didn't kill Burnham, right? And I think that would have been a sign of weakness.
Yep. That makes perfect sense. Well, was there anything else with this episode?
No, I think we covered it.
Cool. Did you see that Enterprise's Admiral Saval passed away?
Ambassador Saval. Yep, Gary Graham. I saw
him. Yes.
Wherever you are, live long and prosper.
Very sad.
Yep. And he was, yeah. and Gary Graham, like, he played other, he was in Star Trek Voyager, and I think that was it. Yeah, I think he was in Star Trek Voyager and Ambassador Saval, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, rest in peace to him.
Yep. Wherever you are, live long and prosper.
And hey,
did
real quick though.
Did you see? Yeah, go ahead.
We forgot to talk about Kelpian cannibalism.
Okay. Yep.
Nothing
yep,
particular.
Oh.
Just yeah. That this episode had Burnham and Giorgio eating Kelpian, which is what Saru is.
Yes.
And she.
I was wondering why she had her pick out the Kelpian. Like, you know what to look for.
Yeah. Very, very disturbing. That was traumatizing, that little scene.
Yeah, I know it looked like either, like, you know, calamari or you know, tripe or something, but just the way that and I must say, Sonequa Michael Green, if that's her, the actress who plays Burnham, I'm so sorry that I don't remember her name, but she sold it.
Yeah, well, I mean, she did fine. I thought the scene was a little...
No, she sold it like that it was Kelpian and not, like, you know, tripe or calamari or whatever the case might be, whatever it was, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, her acting, she sold it. That was, yeah.
I needed a couple more beats, though, and a little bit more sinister music to really, like, reflect how disturbing that was.
Yeah, it was pretty, yeah. It was pretty disturbing, though. I don't think I don't think it needed anything else. I really don't.
They kind of,
like, oh, come on.
Because they kind of glossed over it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it, like, as you said, she acted it, but then they're moving on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I needed to see her throw up or scream and...
I think she interpreted it the way that a Vulcan raised human would, though.
Yeah,
right.
That's
I think
a good
it would
point.
Have lessened it if she sure. did throw up or, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Very sad.
Thankfully, there was no, like, Kelpian head or anything.
Oh, man. Poor
you know,
Saru.
Via James Bond.
Yeah. Very disturbing. talking about it now is disturbing me. I regret bringing it up. I just felt compelled because it was obviously a big thing in this episode. So
yes.
Anyway, I detracted from we were wrapping things up. And
did you see the trailer for the last season of Bad Batch?
I saw it was a thing. I did not watch it though.
Oh, okay.
What'd you think?
It looked pretty interesting. Wanda Sykes.
Yep. Did you watch all of Bad Batch? Did I lose you, buddy?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have not.
I guess I technically listened to it. I didn't like watch it, but I like had it playing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's one of the ones I haven't had a chance to sit down. But
it's good. It's yeah, I've given you plenty of my criticisms of the Star Wars animated stuff, so we don't have to get into that again. But
Okay.
Just know there's an annoying kid, and
it ruins the
whole show.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I picked up on that.
They should be more like Andor. No annoying kids.
Yeah. Did you see that they were up for Emmy? Golden Globes? Something?
It was an Emmy. Yeah.
I think Andor and Kenobi, if I'm not mistaken, maybe?
That sounds right, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I thought it should have earned more Emmys.
Yeah, probably.
But it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
And then John Williams was nominated for an Oscar for Indiana Jones.
Yes, Indiana Jones, yeah. Mm-hmm. If anyone out there in the internet gets a chance, I highly recommend it. I may be a little biased, but seeing him, yeah. Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, he's amazing. 93 years old, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if there's nothing else.
I think we got it, man.
Yeah. Okay. Everyone, thanks for listening and watching. If you're watching, please subscribe on YouTube. We'd appreciate that. Follow us anywhere podcasts are found. We're on Patreon. Follow us on X for announcements for when we go live and for when new episodes are available. And until next time, live long and prosper.
Take care of yourself and take care of each other. And may the Force be with you.